Hello, everybody. This week's parasha is parasha Vayikra, and the parasha begins with the commandment that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, "Davar al bnei Yisrael, v'yamarta aleihem, and say to them, Adam ki yakrav mikem karban l'Hashem. When an Adam from amongst you will go and bring a karban to Hashem." And in the Sefer V'Yigadeta, Rabbi Yaakov Glinsky asks, why here specifically did the Torah choose to use the expression of Adam? Why not to say the usual terminology, ish, nefesh? Why call a person an Adam? We know that Adam was called Adam. Adam chose his name for himself because he comes from the Adama. He comes from the earth. The Gemara in Saita on Hayam and Aleph tells us Adam, Aleph, Dalet, Mem, is an acronym for Afer, Ash, Dam, Blood, Mara, and Bile, which means that a person is really just a big pile of dirt, ash, blood, and bile. Not a very, very complimentary term. So yet the Torah says, when we're talking about the holiest thing, the Karbanis, the Torah specifically uses this expression of Adam. It says in Yaakov Galinsky, the Torah is telling us, what is Sefer Vayikra about? Sefer Vayikra is about us focusing on the fact that we're Adam. Adam Rishon called himself from Adam, even though he had a neshama, like the Mesfarim HaKadoshim tell us, his neshama was extremely high, and even his body was extremely, extremely holy. The Das Tunis writes that Adam Rishon's body before the sin was on the level of spirituality that our neshama is now. And yet Adam Rishon was called Adam because Adam Rishon realized that ultimately his purpose is to elevate himself, not to stay made out of mud, but to elevate that mud and to bring something from it. And the entire focus of Sefer Vayikra is taking our Adam and to be makriv at Karban Hashem, to go and say, we want to come bigger. We want to grow higher. Yes, we may have sinned. Yes, we may have shortcomings. Yes, we may have messed up. But we're not locked into that. We can always go higher. And that's the other terminology of Adam, as the Medrash tells us, is actually Adameh. I will become similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That same Adam, that same Adama, that same dirt can become so high and so great. And that's the terminology of Adam that we use to start Sefer Vayikra. The Gemara in Maseches Menachos Daf Kuf Yud Amar Aleph says a drasha. Torah says Zeis HaTorah. This is a Torah about Karbanis. Says the Gemara Menachos, the pasuk is teaching us that anybody who learns the halachos, the Torah of Karbanis, it's as if he brought a karban. The Gemara says that's how nowadays, even though we don't have Karbanis, still that pillar of service of Hashem that's supposed to be in this world, our Karbanis is fulfilled through the learning, the Torah of Karbanis, and that's as if we brought a Karban. And the morale in Sefer Tveris Yisrael asks the question, says we don't find this expression about any other mitzvah. The Gemara doesn't say anybody who learns the halachas of Sukkah, it's as if he built a Sukkah. Anybody who learns the halachas of Shofar, it's as if he blew a Shofar. Why not? Why is it unique to Karbanis? And the morale explains because Karbanis and Torah, they really represent the same thing. You see, a person's service in this world, the world stands on three things. Gimel, Amudim, three supports of this world are Torah, Avoda, and Gmilas Chasadim. And says the Maral that really, they all do the same thing. Ultimately, their purpose is they bring a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when a person doesn't have a way to bring himself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Karbanis, through bringing sacrifices and saying to Hashem, I recognize that everything I have in this world, all the monetary gains I have, all the animals, all the livestock, and all the flour, and all the monetary possessions I have, they all come from you. So he does it a different way. He sits down and he learns HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and he recognizes that ultimately that's the most important thing in this world, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will and desire is what makes the world run. And he connects to Hashem that way. And that's why specifically this mitzvah of Karbanis can be fulfilled through the learning of the Torah about these Karbanis, because ultimately it's all one and the same. It's bringing ourselves closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's many, many opinions amongst the Rishonim and the different symbolism of Karbanis. There's a famous debate between the Ramban and the Rambam. The Ramban is in Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes. The Rambam writes that the primary reason for Karbanis is seemingly because the idol worshippers used to serve cattle, used to serve sheep and goats and rams and bulls as idols, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klal Yisrael to uproot that, and they had to slaughter those things for Karbanis. The Ramban strongly objects. He says, no, there's much deeper reasons. And the truth is that the Rambam himself, in his own Sefer, in Hilchas Me'ilah, he says clearly that the Karbanos are really a chayk. The true essence of Karbanos is not comprehensible. It's the deepest secrets of Kabbalah. And Chazal tells us clearly, says the Rambam in Sefer Me'ilah, that it's one of the things that the world stands on. It's something very, very deep. However, says the Emes Yaakov, the Rambam is trying to tell us that ultimately there are things we're supposed to learn now on our own level, on a pshat level, from Karbanos. And the Sefer HaChinuch in Parshas Trumo, he talks about the obligation to build a Mishkan. He talks about Karbanos as well. And he says that a very, very basic pshat thing to learn from Karbanos is to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how humans work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made humans, and he understands what makes them tick. And when a person sins, what happens is naturally, in his relationship to Averis, it gets dulled. A person says, you know, look, I did something on Shabbos I wasn't supposed to do. I by mistake turned on a light on Shabbos. No lightning bolt hit me. Everything is fine. And his fear and his kind of natural avoidance of sin, it gets dulled. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says a person has to do tshuva. Now a person could just say, okay, oops, I'm sorry, it was so bad. But the reality is it doesn't make a person change. A person needs to change through actions. And that's why the Torah says, you know what you got to do? You got to go into your barn. You got to pick a good fat goat. You got to schlep it all the way to Yerushalayim. You got to tell the Kohen what you did wrong. You got to watch that goat get slaughtered, watch its blood get sprayed on his back, watch it get dismembered and burnt. And you have to realize that sin destroys, sin is a big deal, and sin has consequences. And that's what the Avodas HaKarbanos is about, says the Chinuch, is to make an impression on a person that sin is real. Averis are real, mitzvahs are real, and a person has to experience it in a very physical way, and that makes an imprint on a person. That's a very important rule in general, Chinuch is telling us, that ultimately we're human, and for us, action is really what makes an imprint on us. And that's why the Ramban says the whole idea of Shabbos is about as well. It's Shabbos is, we talk about how much we believe in Hashem, we always say Baruch Hashem, Amirtz Hashem, but do we have the ability to take a day off and say, look, I can't control what happens on this day. Everything's in Hashem's hands. Shabbos is a practical action of betachon and emunah. And that's what we have to learn, is that ultimately we're human. And the more we do actions of emunah, the more we do actions of tshuva, the more it makes an imprint on us and the more we change. One of the things that we bring from a karban onto this mizbeach is the chelev and the dam, the fats and the bloods of the animal. And the Ben Ishchai says that there's a reason specifically why those two things are present and brought from every carbon. He says a mashal. He says there was once a guy, he had a nice business, he ran, and sometimes you would like to go, you know, take some time off of his business and leave his wife behind to run the store. His wife didn't really know much about business, but you know, she could watch the store. One day, a guy comes into the store while the husband's out on a break, somewhere schmoozing with the guys. He's not in the store, and his wife's sitting there, and some guy comes in, and the wife has no idea who this guy is. He looks like a regular guy. She says, like, my husband's out, you know, maybe come back a different time, and the guy leaves. The husband finds out that this guy came, and turns out this guy wasn't just any guy. This guy was a very wealthy person. He could have been a big potential client. He could have been the big break and the big deal his husband was looking for. And unfortunately, the husband starts yelling at his wife, what'd you do? This guy came in, why didn't you run and come tell me? You should have found me, you should have told me. Why didn't you tell me this guy came in? Okay, fine. Wife learns her lesson, she's sorry. Okay. Next time, a couple weeks later, the husband leaves the store, and the tax collector comes knocking at the door. So the wife sees a guy, comes in with the whole uniform. She's like, this time, she's not making the mistake. She runs and tells her husband. She finds him, she's like, come quick, there's a guy by the store. And her husband comes there, and sure enough, it's a tax collector. Okay? Can't avoid him. Tax collector's right there. He has to pay up his taxes. Sure enough, tax collector leaves. He starts yelling at his wife again. What were you thinking? The tax collector, you called me. I could have hidden. I could have missed. I could have avoided. Could have didn't see him. Why'd you get me? And so on and so forth. Says the Ben Ishchai, what's this a mashal for? The mashal is that every person has two midas. He has a midah of eslavos, of running and hustling and doing. And he has a midah of taking it very slow and very calm and not being there and not going places. Now, why do we have those two midas? Why do we have those two character traits? To use them for the right thing. So for a mitzvah, a person is supposed to be excited. A person is supposed to be energetic and want to go do it. And a person has an avera come, he's supposed to say, I'm too lazy to do the avera now. I don't have the patience. I'm too tired. I'll do it later. And he can't push himself out of bed for that. But yet, unfortunately, we take those 2 minutes and we switch them around. When it comes to Averis, you have all the energy in the world. When it comes to doing mitzvah, we're always so tired. Says the Torah, go and bring the fats, that slow, lethargic fats. Bring that on the Mizbeach. You used it for the wrong thing. You got to be mechaper. You got to change it. You got to bring it and use it for the right things. And that dam, that blood, the pulsing energy you're supposed to have, you use that for the wrong things. You're supposed to bring it to the Mizbeach and mechaper and change it. Ultimately, use all your midas for the right things. In Perek Beis, Pasuk Gimel, the Torah tells us there's an obligation to always put salt on all karbanas. And Rashi brings, because really this is a promise that was made way back in the beginning of creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided the waters. Some waters stayed down here on this earth, and some waters went all the way up into the heavens. And the water down here complained. It said, it's not fair. I don't get to be up in heaven. I have to be stuck down here on earth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the water and said, don't worry, when I build the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to take the salt that comes from the sea, it comes from the water, I'm going to put it on every carbon. You'll have your chance to be elevated as well. Now, the Maral and Goyari asked the question on Rashi. He says, 1 second. If we're trying to put salt because we want to appease the waters, so then just put water on every carbon. Why put salt? Put the water itself on every carbon. You should have water. So I saw the Emes of Yaakov has a very beautiful idea. He says, how does salt come from water? So we know Rashi tells us in Ksubis, you can Google this, that sea salt, the way they take is they take pools, they put sea salt, they put seawater in there, and they let the seawater evaporate, and ultimately the salt is what's left behind in these evaporation pools. Which means, says the Emes of Yaakov, that salt is really kind of the most physical, the heaviest, and most kind of the most gashmi part of the water. The rest of the water, even of the lower waters, eventually evaporates and goes up. And the salt's the thing that's always left behind. It's the most physical part of the water. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the water, you think that it's all about who gets the best positions in life, the most spiritual places, who's put in the right highest places, the heavenly waters at the highest? You're wrong, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about what you do. You see, you can be the lowest and the most physical. You can be the salt, the bottom of the water. But you can be Zeiche to go on to the Mizbeach because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this world, everything in its right place, and ultimately everything has its purpose, everything has its place. It doesn't matter how lowly it seems, but if it's used for the right thing and it does its job, it can become the most holy. I want to end off with one last Farterah. In La Haftarah, this is Parashah, it says, Yishayim and Gimel, the Navi tells us, V'loi oisi korosa Yaakov. Because Baruch Hu complains to Klai Yisrael, so to speak, and he says, Klai Yisrael, you have not called out to me. V'loi oisi korosa. You haven't called out to me. Ki yagata bi Yisrael. Because you have become worn out in me. You've got tired of me. So Dubin Magid explains, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Klai Yisrael? What does it mean you got worn out by me? What's this rebuke? You haven't called out to me. You got worn out from me. And he gives a mashal. He says there was once a king who had a very devoted servant. And he asked his servant to do a job for him. He has a certain storage house somewhere. And he needs that storage house emptied. He needs everything in the storage house taken to a different location. So the servant goes and he comes there and turns out in the storage house there's these bags of fine metals and gold and gems. But each bag is heavy. And he starts schlepping the king's diamonds and jewels. And he starts carrying them one by one, carries it to the cart, and he's sweating one bag after the next. He looks at this place. This place is full of bags. He's getting so tired and so worn out. And as he's sitting there sweating and getting depressed and getting frustrated, someone comes and whispers to him, I heard that the king plans on giving you all these jewels and all these gems that you carry out of here. That's a secret plan. Says the Magad, all of a sudden, those bags stop being so heavy. They start getting much, much lighter. They start becoming almost, they carry themselves. He can't get enough of them. And he's grabbing bag after bag and he's running and he's excited. Why? Because he realizes it's for himself. He's going to gain so much from this. So it doesn't hurt anymore to carry them. It doesn't weigh anymore to carry them. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klai Yisrael, V'loi oisi karasa Yaakov. Klai Yisrael, you didn't call out to me. You don't realize who I am and what I'm doing for you. Ki yagata bi Yisrael. How do I know that as Hashem? How do I know you're not connected to me? Because you're getting tired from the mitzvahs. You're getting worn out from the mitzvahs. If you would realize what the mitzvahs are, if you would realize what they do for you, if you realize that you're earning yourself eternity of Olam Haba, you're going to enjoy this for forever, this is for you, you would never get tired from the mitzvahs. You'd never be too lazy to do a mitzvah. That is ultimately the test, says the Duna Magid, is the more that we recognize that the mitzvahs are for our own benefit, the more we recognize that we're here to give ourselves a olam haba that's going to last forever, the more we'll be excited about mitzvahs, the more we'll do them with the gishmak, and the more we'll appreciate them. We should all have a wonderful Shabbos.